The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, hour two of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. I was told we're up to $850 a day since the start of the program. That's progress, but we're not lighting the world on fire here. Paul, I'll tell you what. I know you're a busy guy. You've already done a couple hours of programming. You did 1 hour with me today, and I greatly appreciate it. I know how hard you're working. Tomorrow, why don't we cut that little vignette, and we'll just insert that recorded message into each show on the network until we achieve our goal.
That sounds good. Basically, John, I got to be honest with you. I'm grateful for the people that donated. I know you are as well.
I am.
And honestly, this is how you get it done. So, obviously, a pleasure to be with you, okay?
Thank you, Paul Drockton. I appreciate it very much. You know, there goes a smart guy. he's been doing what he does for 23 years. He came on board with this network, and the reason why he did so is because he knows what we're about. He knows what we have accomplished. He knows what we want to accomplish in the future. And he says, I'm all in. He says, I've been on other networks, and he says, but they don't have the level of commitment, the production quality that you have, the host that you have, and that's high praise, and I thank him for that. I really do. Peter Neese.
Well, I finally got to the bottom of TSA.
Uh-huh.
The government owns everything as far as the aircrafts are concerned, and the companies basically lease these aircrafts from the government. So what the government decided to do by doing all of this combining and creating the TSA and all of that, they decided to create a police force under martial law rule to protect their property. And that's really what we're dealing with.
But see, the people out there, when they see United or they see Southwest...
That's a front company. That's like me saying to you, John, I'm going to rent you this bicycle. Meanwhile, what I did is I leased it, okay, from the government. And now all I'm doing is re-renting it to you.
Oh, God. Well, that makes sense.
Well, I was trying to figure out, what's this big thing with the TSA? Why did they come in so heavily and everything? I looked behind the trees and behind the bushes for motives on this stuff. And the only thing I could come up with was basically the government owns everything. They own your car. They own your home because they hold legal title to it. And that's what we're not given. That's why we have to turn around and we have to get all of these licenses to operate these things.
Well, that makes sense, because then they go in cahoots with the local governments to move their security force, private security force.
Right.
See, they don't have any authority. They claim that they do. Well, we've got the authority not to let you on board that aircraft. Well, now that makes sense if it's a government-owned aircraft.
But yeah, I haven't heard anybody out there come up with this theory. It's like nobody thinks anymore.
Well, I think we got to take this break, and I think if I don't, I'm going to be in some real trouble. So let's take the break, come back on the other side. I have some things that have to do with police and the intrusions on the private person out there in your conveyance. In other words, your motor vehicle.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
How would you like to own land? A refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, the collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within three stones' throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed. All just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141. 785-672-3141. Or go online to ColoradoRiverLots.com for more information and to see photos. It is away from civilization, a good business investment, and a low-cost protection plan. Call today, 785-672-3141.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
So, Peter Neese, why all the illusion? Why is it so important for them to put on an imminent front that we have commercial airliners out there, commercial air carriers, and they're just independent businesses? Why go through? Why not do what France has done?
They don't want the American people to understand that we've been overthrown by the District of Columbia, United States. And if people want to get in touch with me, and I've got all of the law on it and everything, and to show how it was done, they can contact me at lawman, L-A-W-M-A-N, 07, at live.com. Since the 1930s, you and I have been played for suckers, John, believing that we have a constitutional government and everything else, and we don't, because it was in the 1930s that the transition took place, that the federal government, the old one, did a transition and moved over to the District of Columbia.
Let me play you this video. The Austin Police Department, now they don't go into any detail of who was pressing on this issue, but it had to do, Peter, with cops pulling you over, routine traffic stop,
mm-hmm.
And we're here. God, man, this computer just froze up. I need a new computer. Absolutely amazing. Let me see if I can get this thing back up here. Come on, refresh for me, sweetie. You can do it one more time. How long ago was this? Here we go. Don't bring it up yet. That's commercial playing. Now you see anything on the web, you click on it, you get a commercial. All right. Here we go. This is from KXAN on Austin Police Department.
Changes for Austin police and how they do their job.
The new policies affect how officers respond to suspects who use a car to put a cop in danger.
And there is a new procedure for handling emotionally disturbed suspects. Some of the biggest rule changes for APD apply to searches and arrests. Now, these changes come after a push by civil rights groups here in Austin.
KXAN's Josh Hinkle has what you need to know if officers pull you over.
Would you ever let the police search your car if they pulled you over?
If they had a reason for
it. I have to think about how the policy was set up.
Turns out, not every driver in Austin knows the police policy for searching your vehicle.
Because I have nothing bad in here?
There's not much I can do. There's the officers.
It would depend on the circumstance, I guess.
You don't have anything to hide.
Sure, why not?
But there are rules. Much more clear after complaints and a police monitor's report criticizing APD for searching more minority drivers.
What is the harm done to the trust between the department and the person we're stopping, if in fact that guy, that man or woman, is a law-abiding citizen that has committed no crime.
Now, a policy change to help make sure that doesn't happen. It's this simple. If police pull you over, before they only had to get your consent on audio and video to search your car. Now they have to call their supervisor first for approval and get your written consent.
They do have to ask their supervisor.
So he runs, he looks at the situation and then makes a decision. That's probably better, you think? I don't know.
Defense attorneys say yes. And when it comes to giving consent, they say it's your right and their recommendation to refuse the search.
By simply saying, no, you can't search my vehicle, oftentimes the police won't search. They will respect that right of privacy and decline searching the vehicle.
In Austin, Josh Hinkle, KXAN News.
Now, why that's important is because there is no authority for them to do that. They're asking you for permission. Do you mind if we search your vehicle? Well, what are you looking for? Well, contraband, illegal substances, whatever. Well, and most people, they're thinking, well, gosh, I don't have any of that stuff. I guess there's no harm. But they're asking you for permission and your help to violate your own rights.
Right. Well, see, that's basically what they're doing, too, all over, really, the United States. They're getting you to volunteer, basically, to do away with your rights. The people aren't standing up for them. It's like when you go for a job, and basically the employer turns around and says, well, I need your Social Security number. Most people don't understand that employer actually took himself out of the United States of America, where you didn't need a Social Security number, and he placed himself in the territorial District of Columbia United States employer membership with an EIN number. They don't even understand it. The attorneys don't even understand it. Or they do, but they don't say much. But the employers, the regular guy that started the company, he doesn't know anything. I've talked to him. They're stupid. I've got an attorney. Well, yeah, the attorney that you have works for the District of Columbia territorially under private international law, and he gets his permission to exercise his lawful authority through the District of Columbia.
This police chief, this Chief Art, it's Spanish. Let me see if I can get this right. Acevedo. He says one of the concerns that was raised was that usually you've got to worry about young officers that may be overzealous in terms of seeking consent when there really isn't an articulated reason to do so.
Right. The young officers love to intimidate.
And I'm watching this report. I'm reading this information. I'm thinking to myself, I've got a few little statistics just for Austin alone. In the year 2009-2010, traffic citations that they wrote out totaled to $64 million.
Right.
Half of that money gets kicked back to the state. They get to keep $32 million of that. Traffic citations, their conviction rate, 99.6%.
Right.
So when they pull you over and they're searching in your car and they're inventory, this is one of the terms they like to do. Well, okay, well, you don't have a driver's license. You don't have any proof of insurance. We're sorry. We have to impound your car.
That's because you don't own it. The state owns it. And you gave ownership to the car when you bought it. You signed it over to the state voluntarily in the paperwork
that
the dealer gave you. The dealer will not sell you. The dealer will not sell you a car that is not owned by the state.
So when they use the term, well, we're just going to inventory your vehicle for your safety. No, what they're actually in there trying to do is trying to find something else they can get you on.
Right.
Did you hear the new federal program coming down the pipe here? That if they find a marijuana seed in your car is confiscated.
Oh, yeah. It opens us up to all kinds of fraud on the American people. I mean, where's your protection? But the American people have to understand that they gave permission because of their ignorance. Some of it's their ignorance, but because the school systems and all of the commercial systems that sell us our cars and sell us our homes and sell the aircrafts, basically, to these aircraft companies, they don't explain the truth to you in the transaction. Everything's owned by the District of Columbia, United States federal government. Everything, including your kid, under basically a birth certificate. And again, if people want to know all of this stuff, email me at lawman07@live.com. We've got the answers for you people. We just need you to wake up and realize what's going on. You voluntarily, through your signature, give to the federal government of the District of Columbia the legal title to all your property. You only have a use title. That's why you have to basically have a license.
At one time in this country, we did not have this, and this is all under commercial code. People have to understand this, that the Constitution was thrown out with the proverbial baby in the bathwater. You cannot run this commerce game the way you want it and still say that we are a constitutional republic, because in essence what they've done is they've skirted it. They have knocked the support right out from under it. In times past, ladies and gentlemen, and here's the thing, when you think about this, and Peter, you can probably give classic example for this. If I did you no harm, I did not damage you, or I did not impair the ability, say I got in an argument with you and I broke both your arms. Well, you were a carpenter and you used your hands every day, but now you couldn't work. Well, you would have recourse against me because I prevented you from doing what? Earning a living. You had a,
right, that's correct.
You had a cause against me. If I did not damage you or I did not damage your property, you have no claim against me.
That's correct.
That's under common law principle, which is nothing
right.
more than common sense. But now the state will tell you, according to statute such and such and codified this, da 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 da, the state is now the complainant against you as if you did something to the physical state.
That's the corporate state of the District of Columbia. In other words, if you cross a yellow line and don't cause anybody any problems, you've still broken the corporate law crossing that yellow line. Under the common law that we had under the United States of America, you would have either had to do public damage or you would have to hit somebody personally or whatever to even have any kind of action brought against you. In other words, if we were out in the desert in the middle of the night at 12 o'clock midnight and there were no cars coming anywhere from any side on a four-way stop, would I have to stop at the stop sign? Under the common law, the question is no, you don't have to. But under the corporate law, the District of Columbia, which happened in 1934 when they changed the vehicle code, yes, you do. You've got to stop at that stop sign no matter what.
Larry in Ohio, hang on a second. I'll take your call right after this break.
Mm-hmm. There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Allison C. is made from pure garlic through a patented process that stabilizes the actual allicin of 34 cloves of garlic in one tiny capsule. Allicin only exists for a fraction of a second when you crush a clove of garlic. It is the most powerful, natural antibiotic known to man and has been proven in laboratory testing to kill bacteria, viruses, fungus, and parasites without upsetting the natural balance of healthy organisms in the body. Allicin C also helps prevent disease when taken on a regular basis. You can purchase your Allicin C through Paul Drockton's website, internettruth.org. Start enjoying the benefits of this all-natural supplement today. Go to internettruth.org for your supply.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
I want to intersperse this with some pertinent information for the listeners out there. I did notice one thing. Since we started this pledge drive, I've lost 25% of my audience. Now, I've got a little theory behind that one. Is these are generally probably people of good conscience, so if they don't have to hear it, they don't have to think about it. Larry in Ohio. Hello, Larry.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Let me direct this to Peter, and then he can comment. I think it was back in 2000, when I first started learning this, I didn't know that there was another original title for a car or automobile. Mm-hmm. So I went to a dealer and I said, do you have copies of the MSO before you sell the new car to a new customer? And he said, yes. I said, would you mind if I look at one just to see how they look? And sure enough, they do exist. For every new car sold, there's an MSO.
Now that,
and of course, that goes to the state capitol then.
To the state, and then they send you in a mail, they send you
a certificate
of title.
That only certifies that there is a title somewhere.
Yeah, but here's the trick. When you pay, if there's liens against that car, you still have the ability. Once that lien is removed, you have the ability to negotiate that certificate of title. For you, that's your permission slip to sell that off to somebody else, to trade it in.
Oh, yeah, John. They always did that. In other words, they wanted to give you the feel of freedom. It's just like when you buy a house. You can either rent a house out, you can sell the house, or you can keep the house, you know, whatever you want to do. But you still don't own it, John. The legal title is held in the District of Columbia, United States.
I don't think the car titles are.
Yes, the car titles are also held in that.
So
yes,
sir,
they are. Everything is the District of Columbia. We've been taken over. I can prove it.
I just thought that they were held by the Department of Motor Vehicles in each state capital.
Yeah.
No, the Department of Motor Vehicles is a branch right out of the Department of Transportation, sir. Because
all
I
right,
checked
from the,
with
from Washington, okay.
Yeah.
No, the reason I know that is because I checked with March Fong Yu a long time ago, and I asked her. Yeah. I said, "Is the California Franchise Tax Board the licensing thing that we're talking about?"
Well, it's called different things in different states. It could be the Department of Public. They call it DPS down here in Texas. Up in Michigan, it's called the Secretary of State. It's
right.
got different names
no.
in different states.
Right. He said, no, it's not part of the original state. The legislature adopted it from a foreign entity, which is the District of Columbia.
Larry, you're one of the few.
My second, let me just direct this to Peter. When we went into this commerce game starting in 1933,
right.
You know, we became changed from men and women and children into legal fictions.
That's correct. You're correct. You're 100% correct.
And we also adopted each state assigned on to be debtors into this fiat color of law money that we're using right now, this funny money.
That is correct.
Why hasn't the original contract, the original organic contract, even though it's under pretension that it still exists, why hasn't that some of that wording been changed to that we're using colorable money because we're now colorable subjects? We're not men, women, and children.
Well, there is, but see, it's kept from you. They don't want to let you know that you've been taken over.
Well, they have it in the side somewhere, or
yeah, well,
but they haven't
have
had
it basically in their corporate law. All corporate law is dealt with fiction. And they,
yeah, we're operating
you
under
to be corporate
the UCC
with your own capital
right now.
Name.
Yeah. All right, Larry, thank you for your call. I appreciate
All right, thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, I appreciate your contribution. Chuck in Texas, let me see if I can squeeze this in here. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hi.
I've got a question. Here in a couple of months, once I get everything settled, I'm going to have a joining ceremony with my fiance. I'm not getting a license.
I didn't either. I got married in front of one of God's representatives, a minister down here in Texas. But I did not go for the state marriage license.
Yeah, I don't need to ask permission from anyone to get married. And
That's correct.
Anyway, we're gonna have a joining ceremony, and once I get Tammy firmly ensconced in the house here, I've got to work on my neighborhood some more. I'm a major prepper, and I'm prepping for my entire neighborhood. And part of it, when we have this thing, I want to invite the neighborhood, and I want to be able to go in. I want to hit constitutional issues and gardening issues and all kinds of stuff when they leave my house. I don't want them running to the library whenever the stuff gets rough. I want them coming here knocking on my door saying, okay, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was wondering, on your website, do you have, what's your guest name again?
Peter Neese.
Peter, do you have something on your website where if a guy wants to take the time and look at things, be able to give, say, a 45-minute seminar on the loss of rights starting, you know, flowing from D.C., the vehicle ownership, the actual titles, how that leads into the, you know, the search, the restriction of our travel
all you
rights.
Have to do, all you have to do is email me, and I'll give you papers on those topics that explain it in every which way. And all you have to do is pass those papers along to people, because if they can read English and they've graduated from high school, they can understand it.
Okay. Do you have a website or no?
No, I don't have a website.
Okay.
All I have is email.
And the email is?
lawman07@live.com.
Thank you, Chuck.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you struggling to reclaim your health? Let me share my story quick. My nightmare of chronic fatigue, PTSD, and autoimmune issues cost me everything. A bankruptcy, loss of home, even my wife walked out on me with no hope in sight. A miracle happened after hitting my lowest point. I discovered Ion and RNA drops. It literally saved my life. I want to share my story with you and offer you a trial-size mini bottle of RNA drops. Visit www.rnafreemini.com. Again, that's www.rnafreemini.com. It's time to take your power back now.
Free bottle offer involves processing and handling fees. Visit www.rnafreemini.com today.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are: incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
On the issue of the TSA, and you're going to love this one, Peter, the federal courts have actually backtracked on TSA body scanning ruling. Steve Watson, he's out of England. He's a prolific writer. He said the federal appeals court that previously ruled that the TSA's deployment of body scanners as illegal and demanded the agency comply promptly with an order to hold public hearings on the matter has now backed off the issue, effectively allowing the TSA to continue to ignore its responsibility on the matter. At the beginning of August, the court finally ruled, after a year of inactivity, that the TSA had until the end of the month to provide a reason why it has not held public hearings on the guidelines for body scanners. Guidelines, folks, I said. That's it, just guidelines. The TSA claimed that there was no basis whatsoever for the assertion that TSA had delayed implementing the court's mandate. And I actually read part of the PDF on it. The agency has repeatedly cited staffing issues as a reason for the delay and claimed that it cannot yet release the documents pertaining to the rollout of the scanners, and the decision was taken in 2009 to make them primary method of security in all airports all over the country. TSA says it's awaiting approval from the Department of Homeland Security and the Office of Management and Budget in order to release the information to the court. Well, yesterday, the court accepted these explanations and caved into the agency, allowing the TSA until the end of March of next year to begin public engagement process. In other words, just to hold a stinking hearing. Not whether these scanners should be in those airports and they should be groping you and x-raying you and doing everything else. So that was a full 20 months have passed since the original court order. And they are on the stall. Now,
John, I sat across from Internal Revenue agents and I asked them very, very pointed questions on the form that all your listeners have signed out there, the W-4 form, when they went to work. Did you know that they told me that they could not answer any of my questions because it was under national security? On a W-4 form. What does that tell you, John?
That says that the coup d'etat is in place and they ain't going to answer your question.
That's right. It's been that way ever since the bankruptcy of 1933. And there isn't a court out there that's going to force them to answer any questions.
How's this one? Private agencies, public-private partnerships. You're going to love this one, Peter. Court rules that motorists can be detained for paying by cash at toll booths.
That's on my site, John. And I
thought you said you didn't have a site.
Crazy.
Whoa. It's on your what?
Face page.
Oh, okay. What's your face page?
Peter Neese.
Spell it.
PETERNEISE.
Okay.
I have all kinds of articles up there, and that's one of them that I just freshly put up there.
The 11th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals has ruled that private contractors operating toll roads on behalf of the state have the power to detain and store records on motorists who pay cash at toll booths. Now, this is just another example of how using cash is increasingly being treated as a suspicious activity. Having been held hostage by the Florida Department of Transportation and a private contractor in charge of the state's toll road, I guess this is, I'll attempt to pronounce it, Fanuil, it's F-A-N-E-U-I-L, Inc., at a toll booth last year for paying cash and refusing to have a report filed on them and their vehicle. Joel, Deborah, and Robert Chandler filed suit. Under the FDOT policies in place at the time, motorists who paid with $50 bills and occasionally even $5 bills were not given permission to proceed until the toll collector filled out a bill detection report with data about the motorist's vehicle and details from the driver's license itself. Many of those who chose to pay cash did so to avoid the privacy implications of installing a SunPass transponder that recorded their driving habits. They were likewise unwilling to provide personal information to toll collectors, but they had no alternative because the toll barrier would not be raised without their compliance. FDOT policy does not allow passengers to exit their vehicle, and backing up is illegal and usually impossible while other cars are waiting behind you. The three-judge panel dismissed a suit ruling that detaining motorists in order to record details about people who paid by cash was not a constitutional violation, and that the state and the contractor could subject motorists to such treatment because, and this is their words, in Florida, a person's right and liberty to use a highway is not absolute.
That's right. You're 100% correct, John. I don't know what it's going to take to get it through your listeners' heads. And your listeners to tell other people what's going on. But we don't own anything. Everything is controlled by corporations.
And these public-private partnerships, oh, what a wonderful way. We got tax revenue problems. We got this problem. We got that problem. Hey, we've got a wonderful idea. We'll sell off the rights that you used to enjoy, the rights of freedom of movement and on said public highway and all that other stuff. It's not a big deal. This is a bailout. It's a way for us to get out of this very expensive maintaining this, that, and the other. They're selling off the infrastructure to corporate entities.
Right.
We have corporations with microscopes climbing up the dark places of our bodies.
Right.
And do you think this is going to get any better in the future?
No, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. All they have to do is read George Orwell's 1984. That's the model that these people are using.
Yes, but if you be nice, they may send you a few grams. Your choco ration may be or may not be increased next week.
Right.
We have been at war. We've always been at war. And ain't that the damn truth? Roger.
See, most of your listeners, sorry to interrupt, but most of your listeners don't really understand it because it's never been explained to them. And we're doing it here on the radio. And they don't understand that they're right in the middle of the event as it's taking place, because since the 1930s, this thing has been continuously growing stronger and stronger and stronger. But the people basically don't realize what they've gotten themselves into. They think they have a constitutional republic. They don't. They have a democracy under private international law that is in parallel with the United Nations. That's why the United States of the District of Columbia is a member of the United Nations. It couldn't be a member if it was under the United States of America, under the old law.
Yeah, and corporate rules. Now, folks.
Right, yes.
Folks, corporations make up any damn rules they want to and say that it's policy. When you go to a Walmart and you buy something, you've got somebody sometimes standing by that front door to check your receipt. Clubs that you can join, like Sam's Club and the likes. You join a membership, you have to abide by the rules. They have the right, and it's right in there, that they have the right to check your purchases against your receipt as you're exiting their building. But guess who else has been doing it? Walmart, Fry's Electronics. These people have checkers, and they'll tell you, well, the reason why we're doing this, well, we want to make sure you're not being overcharged for anything. What? That human being standing at that door has filed in his little brain pan 10,500 articles, and he knows the price. No, that's a load of horse stuff. At any rate, I went to Fry's the other day. Had to buy some computer hard drives because we had one that crashed here. I walked up to the door. The guy says, can I see your receipt? I said, no. I said, this is not a private club. In other words, this is not a membership place. You do not have my permission to check my receipt. And he just looked at me. He stepped out of my way. I walked through the door. There was a woman at Walmart. They ripped up. She tried to pay for a purchase. Now, she wasn't stealing, folks. She went through like everybody else in one of these big box stores to make a purchase, goes to the cash register, hands the cashier $100 bill. Well, guess what happened? According to this woman, her name is Julia Garcia. She's right down here in Texas. On December 18th of 2010, she presented the cashier with a $100 bill, $150 bill, and some change. The cashier inspected the $100 bill, turned to another cashier, and had a brief discussion, returned to her register to tell the plaintiff that her money was fake. Okay, geez, don't they have little pens there that they use? Don't they see the little strips in there? And what can you buy in Wally World right now for $100? Not a whole hell of a lot. At any rate, the cashier next proceeded to rip Garcia's $100 bill in half without performing any counterfeit detection, at which point Garcia said that the metallic strip in the $100 bill was clearly visible. Now, point of this is that they hate cash. These big corporations, they want to chase you out of the cash game, get you into the digitized money, because that way everything that you do can be tracked and traced. Everything.
They have a feeling that you're hiding something if you're using cash because you're in the hidden economy. In other words, the economy that deals in cash, and you're not paying your fair share. This has been going on for, my God, over 20 years, John.
Well, and you know what the FBI has been up to? An FBI advisory aimed at internet cafe owners. Now, I'm not joking with you. Folks, we're not making this stuff up. We're reporting what's going on and the attitudes of the government toward its people. They went to internet cafe owners and instructed businesses to report people who regularly use cash to pay for their coffee, and they said these people may be potential terrorists. This is the FBI.
Yeah, I know. And the people out there that go along with it, this is why I said if we're going to have any impact on what you and I believe and we want to get back to our liberty, these employers that have voluntarily signed over with their private EIN numbers so that the only people that can work for them are territorial people with Social Security numbers, until these people get on board and stop using the Federal Reserve credit and stuff, we're not going to have any changes at all, John.
Roger in Arizona. Hello, Roger.
Yeah, and can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, look, Peter, I have a question for you. I thought that I agree with everything just about everything you say, but I thought this transformation from a country to a corporation took place in the Act of 1871. What do you have to say about that?
Well, we had two systems running until 1930. That's why you could use two different systems of money. You had the Federal Reserve note, and then you basically had your silver certificates and stuff. Those were the now they took away the silver certificates. Kennedy wanted to reinstate those. Kennedy was killed. So the only thing that was left to us, period, was the credit system.
Yeah, well, what about the Act of 1871?
That's still in force today. They keep renewing the corporation every 20 years.
Well, I'm just like I didn't get in at the very beginning of your conversation on this, which is very interesting. But did you mention this prior to at all in 1870? It's very important.
Well, I have it in papers. You can email me, and I can give you a chronological document on basically what happened since 1871 with the corporation.
You're talking about. Is it 1871 or was it a Reconstruction of 1868?
No, it was John. It was 1871 when basically the Congress became incorporated in the District of Columbia.
Okay.
And then after that, we had two systems running. We had our old constitutional system of money running, and then we had basically the private international script bonded called Federal Reserve Notes that was running. They were both running parallel to one another. And then when they bankrupted out in 1930, the United States of America, they also bankrupted out the old money backed by substance. So then we went right on over to the credit system. So then basically District of Columbia took full control.
Yeah, and also didn't they actually change the title of the Constitution? So the United States, the first one was the Constitution for the United States, lowercase of America, uppercase.
That is correct. Oh, yes, that's correct. Your legal book point that out. I've done that several times with people with Black's Law Dictionary. I told them to go back and look and see what it's called. When they call it the Constitution of the United States, you've got to ask which one. The United States of America?
And now all of our names are in uppercase, which are ill. That's wrong. I mean, it's not grammatically correct.
No, it's not wrong. No, the people volunteered for it with their birth certificate. Sorry.
Well, that's the part. I mean, grammatically, it's incorrect, but under the condition we're working in today, that's exactly right, because we're part of a corporation. We're chattel.
That is correct, sir. And if you want to see that corporation, I tell the people to go to Title 28, Section 3002, then look at parentheses 15 is the section, and then look at A, B, and C, and A, B, and C is in capitals. It tells you right there exactly what you're working under.
So they look at us as the money that the Federal Reserve notes are, as we know, aren't backed up by anything. The only thing they're backing it up by is our slave labor.
That's it.
Well, yeah, they're backed up by a promise. And even though we say a promise under the Uniform Commercial Code, nowhere on those evidences of bond is there any promise. This is what gets so confusing to people. In other words, this is what, I'll explain this to you. This is what happens today. When you pay your house off in full, they can still come back in and repossess the house. They can repossess everything because you've never paid for your house and you've never paid for your property.
Okay, so what can we do about this besides elect a guy like Ron Paul? Is a good beginning. It's a good first step.
And no, that's not you've got to you, you've got to start locally. And if you go up on the email, if you go up on your computer, you'll find that there are different states now, right now, that are using 27 different kinds of currency other than the Federal Reserve notes. It all starts down at the lower level. It doesn't start up at the national level.
Well, is it true, Peter Neese, that during that bankruptcy of 1933,
correct,
that they pledged all the future earnings of all the future generations to come to that bankruptcy?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, and all the properties were put in trust. In other words, there is no, you cannot have any legal title to any kind of property, any kind of movable property, or any kind of human being. When they issue a birth certificate on you, the corporation is looking at you as a fictional character. They're not looking at you as a real live human being with constitutional rights. All you have is privileges and immunities under the revised Constitution of the District of Columbia.
So if you abide by the new rules, then you're given certain benefit.
Right. You're given privileges. Uh-huh. Private international privileges. You're not given our founding fathers' rights, privileges, or immunities.
Now,
you're given the UN privileges and immunities.
Now, if people in this country, by the way, I pity the poor fools out there that are listening to the Sean Hannitys and the Rush Limbaughs of this world, and they'll never hear anything such as this.
Oh, of course not. No, they don't want you to know this.
Yeah, well, what good is the Constitution that we think we're living under? What good is the Congress doing?
That's the whole point. This whole thing is a masquerade.
Yeah, well, the president isn't the president. He's the chief executive of the officer of the corporation.
Unless we're in time of war, then he gets to put on another hat. He's the commander in chief.
We're always in war, John.
I know.
Ever since the Civil War, we've always been under a declared war, and Roosevelt reinstated that when he brought in the New Deal. We're always under war, John. Always.
Roger.
That's why you have the flag with the fringes on it. With the gold fringe on three sides.
Oh, well, that conspiracy theory was put down years ago. That doesn't mean anything. Let me tell you something, folks. If somebody is going to go through all the pains of sewing a little bit of gold fringe around the flag, that is telling you that is a military flag. And if you think flag heraldry, I'll get it out, is some kind of a joke and just for decorative purposes, you got another thing coming here.
No, it's maritime law too.
That's exactly right. And what does that maritime law mean to the private individual out there, Peter Neese?
Nothing.
Well, basically, the maritime law is the law that they use to rule you by, because they look at you as if you are a fiction of law. In other words, you don't have any rights. When has a debtor ever had any rights?
Never.
Okay.
That's the golden
rule. You answered your
own
question.
Roger,
right on.
I thank you for your call, sir.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
All right. There's another one that's awake, folks. Gosh, if we have an even chance of swinging for the fences and we can put one over the fence to win the game, if we do not do this within our own generation, this country is gone.
That's why I try and tell people, John, I try and get through to them. I say, oh, you paid your property off. Yeah. I said, fine. Why don't you now write to get your legal title back from the government? Because you gave it to them voluntarily. There's no reason why, after you haven't met your commitment, that you can't write them and get it back.
Well, they have another surety plan to make sure that they're always in control of your property. Even a few people out there, and understand this to be fact, you may have taken out a mortgage. You might even have gone and paid cash for your property outright. You didn't have to do the game of the banks and pay all this interest to finally, after your adult working life, to try to retire, drop back, plant some roses, grow a garden, take it easy. Do you think you own your property? Okay, try doing this. Try not paying your property tax and see what happens to that building that's sitting on that property that you think you own.
Right.
What'll happen to them, Peter?
It'll be basically sold off at auction, and it'll be given to another slave who wants to make the payment.
Henry in New England. Hello, Henry.
Yeah, hi. Well, the thing also about the property taxes is that I would be very scrupled judgment in terms of where you buy your property, too, because like a place like Bridgeport, Connecticut, which is not far from where I'm a border of, you know, most of it will go to pay for all these Hispanic, illegal, and everything that's in the school system, which if you're going to pay property taxes, you know, why pay for that? But you mentioned something about the title. There is something I got from a source called, I think it's ADD, Adial Title, or Aridial Title.
Allodial Title.
Allodial, okay, that's what it's called.
Yes.
Allodial
when you look it up in the dictionary, when you're looking up in a dictionary, it's allodium.
Okay.
A-L-L-O-I-D-U-M.
Your point being, Henry?
All right, well, I'm asking him. There was some book that shows how to file to apply for that or to
process. I've got all that stuff. All you have to do is email me.
Oh, okay.
I'm just full of all kinds of information.
I got a couple other things, but what is your website?
He doesn't have a website, and I don't know why he doesn't have a website. Peter, why don't you have a website?
I just never wanted to get around
about
to keeping it up or doing everything else. I would rather deal with people one-on-one.
A favor. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, that gets really cumbersome. If people want to see the information you're talking about, then you've got to personally contact them, then you've got to talk to them. But a website, if you've got information, that's the whole point of putting a website up, is to give them the information. If they...
No, John, I've been able to manage it with no problems at all.
All right, then. Henry, he doesn't have a phone number that he gives out, but he will give you an email that he does respond to.
Yeah, it's lawman07@live.com.
Okay, Henry.
Tell him to repeat that when I go, so I can put it in the thing. But the other thing I was going to mention too is about the whole thing with the mortgage stuff and everything else. There is too much in this country around all this work, and moral this, and whether we integrate with other cultures, crap. I've been hearing since I was even too young to vote in the late '80s. That's ridiculous. And I think the whole mortgage stuff, the way they do it, I would, there's a thing called Web of Debt, which is up in North, from a woman, and she mentions about the bank in North Dakota. I would find out how they do stuff there. I would find out how they do mortgages in some parts of Europe outside of the EU.
You're talking about Ellen Brown. She wrote a book, Web of Debt.
Yeah, Ellen Brown, that's it. Yeah. Right. Yeah, but see, the website is still there. It's
okay.
Web of Debt. It's the same name, yeah. Because, I mean, there's so much stuff. And then on top of that, the other guy was talking about the government with the business with the cash stuff. First of all, they're not going to be able to do that. They can't do that.
Yes, they are doing it, Henry.
They're doing it right now.
Henry, I don't like to burst your bubble, and I wished I could have you on for a few more minutes to talk to you, but we're out of time. But thank you for tuning in, and thank you for listening, and thank you for your questions. Again, folks, make that donation today, 800-724-2719. Go to the website, republicbroadcasting.org. There's a PayPal button at the top. Or just drop a check, money order, or FRNs wrapped in foil to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Peter Neese, outstanding job. Thank you very much. See you back here next Wednesday.
Thank you, John. God bless.
All right. Thank you, folks.